Text this morning is found in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 45. I'm not going to actually read through it all this morning just because it's a lot of verses, but I'll give a synopsis before we go into the passage. But let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for the word of God. Thank you for John's gospel. I thank you for the truth that it speaks to us, God. God, not only it's just an intellectual truth, but God, it's also a truth that stirs our heart. It just stirs a passion in us. It burns, like Jeremiah said, a fire shut up in our bones, God. And we just thank you for the truth of your word. It's just as true today as it was when John wrote it. God, I just ask that you just bless us this morning, Lord, that we would hear your word, God, and we would apply it in our life. God, it would just not be something that we intellectually assent to, but God, that it would transform us and change us, Lord. It would make us like you. It would draw us closer to you. God, just bless us. Lord, let my words be your words, Lord. Any distraction, anything that would hinder us this morning, take it away. Lord, for those who are here, those listening online, Lord, let that speak clarity. Let there be clarity and understanding, God. I just ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. I have to apologize. Things are a little wonky this morning. I forgot to actually do a PowerPoint, so I'll make sure to get it up right away after service. But our passage this morning is John chapter 11, verses 1 through 45. The title of the sermon is Jesus, a Pattern for Ministry. Could have took it a couple different ways, but you know, John's gospel, you get these same themes that it kind of hits over and over. And so I'm trying to come at it from a different way. And so with here in chapter 11, Jesus is just wrapped up with this ministry in the temple. And now they're traveling, and word comes to them about a friend, a disciple of Jesus, Lazarus, who lives in the city of Bethany. And he lives with the sister Mary and Martha, and word has come that he's sick. And so the disciples hear of it, but Jesus tells them very quickly, you know, he says, the sickness is not to death, but for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now, the disciples are very quick. They're telling him, hey, Jesus, we really have to go to Bethany to see Lazarus. And they say, let's go down to Judea, verse 7. Now, Jesus tells, let's go to Judea again. His disciples are confused. And then Jesus says, are there not 12 hours in the day? Okay. And he's saying it's not 12 hours a day. He said, there's still ministry to do. I know my friend Lazarus is sick, but there's still ministry to do. And there's things that must be done. And so he doesn't immediately go to Bethany, which would be to the disciples a surprise. It would also probably be a surprise to Mary and Martha. It says that later on, it says that Jesus loved Lazarus. And so there's an intimacy between Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Jesus loves his family. They're close disciples. And so he doesn't go. But then word comes to him that Lazarus is dead. Or Jesus tells the disciples, verse 14, Lazarus is dead. He said, but I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you might believe. Now, he says, now let's go to him. Now that he's died, Jesus decides to go to Bethany in a far way off. Martha hears that Jesus is coming. Went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Okay, you'd expect both of them to run out, but Martha, she runs out to meet Jesus. She greets him, and she says, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. She's given Jesus a mild rebuke. Jesus, you took so long to get here that my brother died, and if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. But she says, even now I know, verse 22, whatever you ask of God, God will give you. So even though there's a mild rebuke, there's an act of faith. Jesus says, your brother will rise again. Now Martha misunderstands him in verse 24. Martha says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. But then Jesus responds, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe in this? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. So when Martha greets Jesus, she exhibits faith, albeit she misunderstands Jesus. But when Jesus comes to the tomb, he's moved with compassion, okay? And it says that Jesus wept. And then Jesus calls out in this great miracle. He calls out and brings Lazarus back to life. And Lazarus comes out. He's still got the grave cloths on him. And he tells him to remove him. But the ultimate thing here is it comes to in verse 45, it says, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. Again, this is really the heart of John's gospel, that we believe in him. And all throughout the gospel, you see that they believed in him. The Jews believed in him. You see this phrase over and over. And later on, it will tell us that it was written that we might believe in him. And so the point, John is really trying to tell us that we must believe in Jesus. He is the resurrection. He is the life. He has life and death in his hands. It's just not a spiritual thing, but he actually has a physical life and death in our hands. But here's the thing. What I see in this is I see a pattern of ministry in Jesus here. And so the first point really this morning is stay focused on ministry. And let's just be honest. But one of the things we re need to realize is that every Christian as a ministry. You may not be called to a vocational ministry. You may not be called a pastor. You may not call to be a teacher or an evangelist. Okay. You may not have a prophetic calling. You may not have an apostolic calling. You may not be called to go on the missions field or work into a parachurch ministry. Okay. You may not be called to work full-time vocational ministry, but everyone's called to do ministry. Everyone is called to do ministry in the local church. It could be anything from doing children's church. And it might just be, you might just come in and be a helper. You might support the teachers. You might be someone who comes in and you help set up or break down after church. You might be the person who comes in and cleans at church. You might be the person who stands at the door and greets everyone and tells them how much you love them and how happy they are. And you'd be surprised. You think some of these things are little ministries, that they don't matter, but they absolutely matter, okay? It matters that when someone walks through the door of a church, they have a smiling face, that someone hugs them, that someone tells them, all of these things matter. It matters if you're the person who comes in and cleans when no one else is there and no one sees it. Because here's the thing, the ministry staff, they can't do all that stuff. There's only so much time in a day. They only have so much opportunity and they can't get bogged down. And you see this in the book of Acts. This is why they make deacons. It's because they need ministry help. But even beyond doing ministry in a local church, we have ministries in our life. So you might say, oh, well, hey, again, I'm not called to vocational ministry. I'm not called a full-time minister. That's great. But you may have a ministry in your job to tell people about Jesus, to share the love of Jesus, to be that example. You know, the Bible says that we are epistles known and read daily by men. And you know, we dare say women. And so the idea is that people see us, okay? Here's the thing. John at your job may never read a Bible, he may never hear a message, he may never hear you know, something on the radio, he may never listen to a Bible podcast, he may not do none of this stuff, okay? He may not have any Christian friends, but just seeing you at work, that you, the work that you do and the lifestyle that you live should exhibit the godly hope that was in within you. It should look different. It should seem different. I saw a meme this morning, and there's this guy. He owns a plumbing business, and he's saying, "Jesus, should I put the little stick, the fish sticker on my van so people will know that I'm a Christian business?" And Jesus said, no. And he said, well, why not? He says, well, they should know by your work ethic, your integrity, and how you work. And that really is the idea for some of us, is that people will see our lifestyle. They will see that we're different. They'll see that there's something about us that is different than other people around them. And so for some of us, that's our ministry. It's just being that light in our workplace. It might be a light to the neighbors. It might just be loving on them, telling them about Jesus. You might be someone who your ministry is to do prayer walks to the neighborhood. Maybe it's your ministry is to do prayer walks around that school. And people are wondering, hey, why is this person walking around the school? They come every morning, they come every evening, and they walk around the school sometimes 5 and 10 times. They're like, what is this person doing? And that person, they're just praying for the school. They're praying God's protection over it. They're saying, hey, Lord, send angels and put them at the doors and only let people in have come to learn, who have come to benefit the school. And maybe that's their ministry. And so what I'm saying is, all of us have a ministry. But here's the thing, all of us have a ministry, but you know what? Sometimes it's very easy to be distracted in ministry. And here, this is what we see Jesus saying in verse 9, but he's responding to them. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again. Remember, he says, let's go to Judea. And they're saying, Jesus, they want to kill you. They picked up stones more than once. They've plotted to kill you, and now you want to go back to the place. Here's the thing. Sometimes ministry puts us in where people may want to harm us. They may not always want to kill you. I'm not saying that people are going to want to kill you, but there will be people who just dislike you and don't want nothing to do with you. They won't want you around because of who you are in Jesus. Okay. And so what will have you seeing? Well, why is that? The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers of this world. And so what is happening is the godliness in you irritates the ungodliness, the demonic presence in them. And so they don't want you around, and they will mock you, and they will make fun of you, and they'll say things. And hey, when that happens, that's okay. Don't be distracted by it. So the disciples are saying, hey, Jesus, don't go there. Jesus' response is, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. He's saying, hey, I'm here. My time is now. My time is to do ministry. Here's the thing. When you're at work, that is your time to be a light. It is your time to do your ministry. It is your time to do things. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until next week. Don't wait until you think you've perfected it. It got this thing mastered. Just do it now. But it's easy to be distracted by ministry. Life creeps in, right? Jesus, he's being persecuted. People want to kill him. Life creeps in. Or you're like, oh, I'm not as good. I don't know my Bible as much as I should. Or, my prayer life isn't where it needs to be right now. Or you don't know, I'm wrestling with this sin. Yeah, that's that. All of those things are true. You may have a life. We live life, okay? Not only do we live life, but life happens to us and things happen to us in life. And there are always going to be things that want to distract us and pull us away from ministry. But so it's easy to be distracted, but don't get distracted. Don't get pulled away. Because sometimes you may be the only person that is able to share that ministry with them. You may be that only one. You may be the only Christian in that workplace. You may be the only Christian in the apartment. You may be the only one that is showing and sharing the light of Jesus. So don't be distracted. Stay focused on ministry. Why? Because ministry was done with a purpose, okay? We're not just doing ministry for our own glory. Okay, we're not just doing ministry just to do it. We're doing ministry with a purpose. Okay,
Amen.
so verse 4, Jesus heard this and he said, the sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. You want to know what ministry is? There it is, right there. That for the glory of God and the Son of God may be glorified. Our ministry is to lift Jesus up. any and every way. Okay. So if you're called to preach, preach Jesus, preach him crucified, preach him resurrected, preach that Jesus brings hope and renewal and change. If your ministry is teaching, teach children that. If your ministry is just being that prayer walker, be that person who prayer walks, goes around, prays for the school, go and battle in the heavenlies for these young minds to be safe and to be protected and to hear the love of Jesus. Okay. So all of this is done with a purpose. We are pointing people to Jesus. We're pointing people to God. We're saying, hey, I have found the one who is the truth. And not only is he the truth, he's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father except through him. So there he is. Point to him. That is our ministry. So we have to stay focused on it. Brings us to our second point this morning. Be compassionate in ministry. Jesus was compassionate, okay? Look at verse 35. Verse 35, shortest verse in all the Bible, okay? Right here, Jesus wept. Actually, let's go back. We'll go back to verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was moved and he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Verse 35, Jesus wept. So the verse 36, so the Jews were saying, "See how much he loved him." Verse 37, but some of them said, "Could not this man who opened his eyes of the blind and kept this man also from dying?" Verse 38, Jesus again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and the stone was laying against it. And Jesus said, "Remove the stone." The compassion. So here's the thing. There was something about Lazarus that he loved him. Okay. And so there was even some scholars say that, hey, it's maybe it isn't John who's the beloved disciple, but maybe it's Lazarus. I still think it's John because nowhere is Lazarus identified, and he's just always identified as Lazarus. But Jesus loved him. He had compassion for him. Okay. There was something that he was moved. So let me just tell you about Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. They're probably a well-to-do family, okay? And how do we know they're a well-to-do family? Well, he's buried in a tomb. So you have to be wealthy to be buried in a tomb. There's other ways that they could have buried him. Wealthy people are buried in tomb. We know later on that Mary is the one who anoints Jesus' head, feet with a costly oil. Okay. So if she's poor, she can't afford costly oil to anoint with. And so one of the things, so let me just point out here, okay, that the Mary here is not Mary Magdalene. Okay. A lot of times we confuse the two. We want to conjoin the two. And they're actually not, because we know where Magdalene is. Magdalene is in Galilee. Galilee is in northern Israel. Bethany is in Judea. Okay. And so we know that they're different. These are different Marys. So there's actually two different Marys. And let me just talk about Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was not a prostitute. Okay. That's a late idea. Probably comes from about the 6th century. And with that is, and the reason they think that they thought she was a prostitute is Magdalene was known to be a city of kind of ill repute. It did not have a good reputation. There was a lot of sinful things that went on there. So she inadvert, so some people associated her with prostitution, but that's actually wasn't her problem. Her problem is she was demonically oppressed. But I say that so we know the difference. So there's actually two Marys. So this is not Mary Magdalene. But the other thing I want to point out is that Jesus had disciple women who were disciples. Okay. A lot of time we think of the apostles. Oh, there's 12 apostles. Okay. And then these 12 apostles were men. And then his disciples were only men. No, the women were disciples too. And they actually did ministry. And they were very close to Jesus. And so there is a place for women in ministry. And if you don't think that, that's okay. We're just going to have to agree to disagree. Because the scripture tells us there's a place for women in ministry. But let's go back to the point at hand. We're called to be compassionate in ministry. Why? Well, first off, Jesus was compassionate in ministry. So here's the thing, when we're compassionate about in ministry, it's because we love people. And our driving force in ministry ought to be driven out of love. And if we're doing something out of love, it's because we love people. So here's the thing, here's reasons that we don't do ministry. We don't do ministry for ourselves, okay? I know people out there who, some of them are pastors, that they'll preach the gospel, they'll teach the gospel, not because they feel like they're called to it, not because they're gifted at it, not because they're compassionate and want to see people grow and people be saved and people find hope in Jesus. They're doing ministry because they are focused on themselves and they are trying to lift up themselves instead of lifting up Jesus. Hey, we need... I'm just going to say, we need to stop putting our faces all over flyers and all over Facebook, and we need to be pointing people to Jesus. And so here's the thing, we're called to be, Jesus was compassionate in ministry, but not only did Jesus weep, but if we go back to verse 24, okay, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even if he dies. And so she has faulty understanding. She doesn't understand that Jesus is about to resurrect her brother. She doesn't understand that Jesus actually has the power. Well, I think she realizes it, but she just has this faulty understanding. He's been dead for so long that she doesn't think it's going to happen. And Jesus lovingly corrects it. Even though she mildly rebukes Jesus, Jesus lovingly corrects her theological misunderstanding. And so here's the thing, if you're not compassionate in ministry, okay, and we need compassion in ministry because people, we just miss the mark sometimes, and then we miss the mark again, and then we miss the mark some more. Oh, and by the way, not only do we miss the mark more, we're stubborn about it, and we misunderstand it, and we miss the mark again, and people get frustrated. Oh, and what are we? Oh, I don't, you know what? They're just doing their own thing. I don't want nothing to do with them. What if God said that to us? Mm-hmm. Every time that you sin, well, you know what? Gosh, this is Michael's, 74th sin this week. I'm just no longer, I'm done with him. I don't want nothing to do with him. No, that's not what he does.
Thank God.
Okay. Now, I'm not saying that you should just go on continuing sinning and sinning and sinning. That's not what I'm saying. But God had compassion upon you. It says that he is rich in mercy. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's rich in mercy, that he gives us grace. Mercy is withholding something, a punishment that we deserve, okay? Grace is coming behind that and giving us favor that we didn't deserve. So one's withholding, one is giving. He withholds the punishment, and then he gives us grace. He gives us forgiveness. He gives us the power to overcome. So he gives us the ability to be transformed and renewed. Why? Because Jesus went to the cross. He died on the cross. Why? Because he was compassionate. And now we don't do ministry with compassion. Why would someone want to come and deal with a God who is angry, a God who wants to get us, a God who doesn't have compassion, a God who doesn't give mercy? Well, this is the God of the Bible, and if we present it any other way, there's going to be people who won't accept it or don't want it because they don't understand who God actually is.
Amen.
So be compassionate in ministry. Lastly, here's the thing. We got to stay focused on ministry. We have to be compassionate, but here's the third point. Your ministry is to try to help others. Your ministry is to help other people believe in Jesus. Our ministry is to help other people believe in Jesus. Verse 45. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what it had been done believed in him. There it is, right? That is the point, that they believed in Jesus. So here's the thing. Our ministry is to help other people believe in Jesus, all right? First, that people who don't know him. I mean, that we know that, right? People who don't know Jesus, we want to help them to know Jesus. Why? Because Jesus has hope, gives them hope. We live in a world that doesn't have hope. We live in a world where people face addictions, various addictions. I mean, there's addictions that run not just drugs, not just alcohol, okay? but there's people who have addictions to people pleasing. There's people who have addictions to television. There's people who have addictions to certain lifestyles and certain things, and they can't get freedom from it. And they know they can, and they're angry and they become hopeless. You know, someone just told me the other day that there's just times that he wishes he didn't wake up in the morning so he didn't have to deal with life's problems. That's called hopelessness. And it's, we have a generation of people who need hope, and we have a God who provides hope. So it's our ministry is to help others who don't know Jesus believe in him. Here's the other thing. Our ministry is not just to unbelievers, but it's also to new believers. When people come into the faith, it's our ministry to help build them up and to help them mature in the faith, to learn about the scriptures. But we're going to do so lovingly. You can't do it harshly. Oh, well, I don't know why you don't get this. No, we lovingly, we gently bring them along, okay? There's a time to rebuke, but, you know, God will show you that time, not when you decide you're angry with them, not when they didn't do what you wanted, not when, you know, there's a million things why you might be angry at them, but there's a time that we'll rebuke, and God will let God be the one to tell you that it's time to rebuke them, that it's time to be harsh in your correction. But most of the time, we're harsh in our correction when we don't need to be. God hasn't told us to be. Our ministry isn't just to unbelievers. It's just not to new believers, but it's to help strengthen the faith of mature believers. If you're honest, there's just times that we need to mature our faith. There's times when we get into a rut as believers. There's times when we are praying, but it doesn't seem like God is hearing. And we're praying. And we're praying, we're saying the same prayer. And our prayers are sincere. Our prayers are genuine. Our prayers are directed in the right place. We're praying them to Jesus. We're praying it in Jesus' name. We're seeking the help of the Holy Spirit. We're not living in sin, but it seems like our prayers are not getting there. And that's times when our ministry is to come behind those believers, to love on them, put our arm around them. Hey, let me pray with you. Let me encourage you. Let me strengthen you. There's times when we have tragedies in our life. Things just, life happens. It doesn't work out the way we wanted. You know, maybe a loved one passed away or something bad happened in your life or whatever it is. And there's just times that we as believers, we come along and we don't need to say magic words. There's nothing, you know, it might just be us as there. Hey, can I pray for you? It might just be giving them your ear. It might just be giving them a hug. It might be providing a meal for them. All of these things are doing ministry. Doing ministry isn't just always telling people, hey, believe in Jesus, pointing people to Jesus. Yes, we do. But one of the other ways we point people to Jesus is by loving on them. That's part of being compassionate. And so, you know, it's just not just, you know, telling on believers, but it's also loving on mature believers and help strengthen them and being in part of that community and faith and fellowship. So when we all have ministry, but when we're doing it, stay focused on ministry, be compassionate in ministry. And your ministry is to help other people believe in Jesus. That brings us to our big idea this morning. Here's the idea that Jesus has a life and power. Jesus has the power over life and death. Let me restate that. The big idea is Jesus has the power over life and death. Why does that matter? Because we're pointing people to Jesus. We're telling people that, hey, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the hope in this world. And that matters. Why? Because not only does he transform our life in this world and renew our life in this world, but he resurrects us to new faith, not in just this world, but also the life to come. That's why it says that those who believe in him will never die. You may die for a time, but there's going to come a time when you're resurrected, you're brought back new, that you may spend eternity with God. So interestingly, so in order to experience Jesus in this life, you have to believe. You have to believe. Now, let me talk about what belief is and what it's not. Okay. Belief is just not intellectual assent. Okay. Just agreeing to something is not, that's not what belief is. Okay. Think of belief. Well, let's go back to grammar school. Okay. And we talk about a verb. What is a verb? A verb is an action word. That there is action accompanying it. This is what belief is, that there is action that accompanies our belief. We intellectually assent that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he has come to redeem us, that he has come to transform us, that he has come to give us life and give us life more abundantly. But then our life will be transformed. Our life will begin to change. It will look different. We will now become part of the fellowship of believers. We will begin to go to Bible study. We will begin to go to prayer. Our life will begin to change and look different because there's actions that accompany it. Our belief will be matched by our actions. So Jesus has the power of life and death. So my question to you as we close is, do you believe? Do you believe in the Jesus who has the power of life and death? Let's pray. God, I just thank you. I thank you that Jesus has the power of life and death. But I also thank you that in his ministry, he gives us a pattern. We see the way in which we should do ministry, that we stay focused, that we be compassionate, and we point others to him. Why? Because he has the power over life and death. And Lord, I just pray this week that you just touch us, that you be with us, that you renew us, that you transform us, that you bring us closer to you, Lord, that you just fill our homes, Lord, with love. You fill our classrooms with love. You fill our workplaces with love. Lord, that you would go with us everywhere we go, God. I just ask that you just touch us now, Jesus. And Lord, I just thank you and I praise you. Amen.